하지만 법기 승리 역사에 대한 말씀을 공부하겠습니다. 자, 이 내용은 아브라함 가정주 복귀 승리 역사의 목차가 되겠습니다.
This is the Providence Restoration Abraham's Family.
아브라함 가정 중심한 복귀 승리 역사에 대한
This is the contents and then this is the introduction. Due to Ham's fallen act, the providence of restoration in Noah's family was not fulfilled. Nevertheless, God had absolutely predestined that the purpose of creation would one day be realized. Therefore, upon the foundation of Noah's heart of loyalty toward heaven, God called Abraham, the son of Terah, who was an idolater most beloved by Satan, and commenced a new chapter in the providence of restoration with his family. So the foundation for the Messiah. For fallen people to be restored to their original state, we must receive the Messiah. Before we can receive the Messiah, we must first establish the foundation for the Messiah. Without the foundation for the Messiah, fallen people will kill the coming, could kill the coming Messiah. So Abraham becomes the central figure for the foundation of faith. So for the foundation of faith, the central figure is Abraham. And for objects of the condition, he is to present three sacrifices. I won't go into the details about period. And for the foundation of substance, the central figure is Isaac. So if Abraham had fulfilled his responsibility, Isaac was ready as the central figure, as the second son, to unite with Abraham. But because Abraham could not successfully complete his three sacrifices, then he wasn't able to fulfill the foundation of faith. God gave Adam was supposed to fulfill the foundation of faith and foundation of substance in his life, but because he fell, it took another, and Adam's family fell and failed to make the central foundation of faith and foundation of substance in their families. It took 10 generations until Noah's time, which was 1,600 years. But with the failure of him, this foundation was lost. And in order to indemnify those lost 10 generations had to pass from Noah's time until Abraham's time, 400 years. So Noah was the first father of faith, and Abraham is the second father of faith. Noah was called from the descendants of Seth, but Abraham was called from Satan's world. Until Noah's time, Noah was called from the lineage of the good side, but Abraham was called from the lineage of Satan's side. Abraham was the first son.
나이가 많아가지고 하나님은 아브라함을 불러가지고 아브라함 고향인 갈대어 우르를 떠나게 합니다. 그래서 하나님 말씀을 따라서
When Abraham called God called Abraham, he was called out of the land of Ur, which is in Iraq, and he was called to go to Haran, which is in Syria, and then called to go to Canaan, which is in Israel. So Abraham has to indemnify what was lost, the foundations that were lost through Adam's family and the foundations that were lost through Noah's family, and complete the condition in his family. It's the same as so Abraham was to have absolute faith and absolutely fulfill the sacrifice, same as with the same heart as Noah building the ark for 120 years. Abraham, in Abraham's family, Abraham and Sarah were husband and wife. They went to Canaan, but there was nothing to eat, so they went into Egypt to get something to eat. But then, in Pharaoh's time, in Egypt, then whoever was beautiful and the Pharaoh set his eyes on, the Pharaoh could take that woman into his household and have her as his wife. And Pharaoh was able to kill the husband of any woman that seemed beautiful and was of his liking. And so Abraham and Sarah discussed, and Abraham said, let's go into Egypt as husband, as brother and sister. And just as expected, Pharaoh took Sarah into his palace. And almost every day, Pharaoh tried to bring Sarah into his bed and have sex with her. So, Sarah, how could Sarah not lose her chastity to the Pharaoh, even at the risk of her life? So we can pray to Sarah, ask her how she could keep her purity. And in the beginning, Pharaoh tried to seduce Sarah to come and be with him, but then he couldn't endure it anymore that she always refrained from him. And so then Pharaoh tried to take Sarah by force, and then God struck Pharaoh, saying, Pharaoh, do not touch her. She is a married woman. And then Abraham was able to take back his wife. Adam and Eve were supposed to be brother and sister and then become husband and wife. But instead, Eve fell and had a relationship with the archangel. So Eve lost her position as true daughter and defiled her, gave her body up to the archangel and then defiled her husband. But Sarah kept her position as daughter, true daughter, and went into Satan's world, kept her purity, and then returned to her husband. So, Abraham and Sarah went into Egypt, to Satan's world, and then came, won victory, and came back out of Egypt. This is like, this is restoring through indemnity the fall in Adam's time. Understand? This is how they could, this is the, how Abraham could stand as the position of central figure in the offering of the foundation of faith. The symbolic offering, the symbolism of three sacrifices symbolized the cosmos completed through the three stages. And the fact that you were supposed to cut the, split the offerings in two, meant to split them into good and evil, and then put the good side, the right side, on top of the evil side, meaning that good subjugates the evil. When Jesus went to, when Jesus went to John the Baptist, Jesus asked for the baptism, and John the Baptist said that I cannot give you the baptism. And then Jesus asked again, and then John the Baptist saw a dove descending on Jesus, and he heard God's voice saying, "This is him who, and I am well pleased. This is my son, and I'm well pleased." People thought that Jesus came to defile the law, to break the law, but Jesus did not come to do that, but he came to complete the law. The lamb symbolizes Jesus. See, he who goes, the Lamb of God. And, but Jesus died on the cross. The heifer symbolizes the second advent. Why does the heifer symbolize the completion stage? When Samson, he was the strongest of the judges, and he was to get married. And Samson went to get preaching, and on his way back, he found a big lion, and the lion jumped on him, and then Samson killed this lion with his fist, with his strength. And then when Samson was fighting with the Philistines, Samson said that if you can solve this riddle, then I will not kill you. So the riddle was, what is sweet? What is sweet inside of a lion? Anyway, Samson said that if you can solve my riddle, then I will not kill you. What? What was the riddle? Okay. What is sweet comes out of the strong. So the Philistines went to Samson's lover, Samson's fiance, to find the answer to the riddle. And they said that Delilah went to Samson saying, if you really love me, you will tell me the answer to the riddle. So, then Samson said that he couldn't tell the answer, but then Delilah broke out in tears, and then Samson told her the answer. And then the answer spread throughout the Philippines. And Samson said, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. And who is her heifer? This is her wife, his wife. If it wasn't for his wife, then the people wouldn't have known the answer to her riddle, his riddle. So the age of the heifer is the age of the wife. And the age of the wife is the age of the heifer. The heifer, everything exists for the owner. When it is hot, the heifer makes shadow for his owner. When and the heifer plows the field, even if she falls down, she stands up again and keeps on going until she can't stand up anymore. But a bull wouldn't be able to do that. The bull, if he doesn't feel happy, then he just goes to sleep, or he plays, or he doesn't follow the will of the owner. But the heifer is very obedient, and everything that she owns is for the sake of the owner. If you look at a pig, if you have one pig, then the noise of this pig goes all around the neighborhood. It's so noisy. But what about lambs? Lambs. lambs are very quiet-natured animals. What about goats? Goats are very rough, have a very rough character. When goats fight, they stand at opposite ends and they run towards each other at full force, and they fight until their horns are broken. Even deers do this also. The two males fight. And they run at full force until one dies or goes away, withdraws. And goats also have a characteristic that in when it's hot, they stand near each other, because if they stand apart, then the other goat might be cool. So they can't stand that the other goat will be cool, so they stand close to each other to make each other hot. And when it's cold, they stand farther apart, because if they stand close to each other, then the other goat would be warm. They can't stand that the other goat would be happy, so they stand far apart. So when we look at people, there are some very innocent people and some people that are very self-centered, and some people that are obedient, some people that have a will of their own and don't obey anybody. We can see that to be an offering to God, we should have the character of the dove of a ram. Meaning of three sacrifices.
So in Abraham's sacrifice, there are three stages, three offerings, and this is to symbolize the cosmos. And to restore in Abraham's generation horizontally all the indemnity conditions which had accumulated in the course of the providence vertically through the three generations of Adam, Noah, and Abraham. And then the third meaning is to restore through indemnity all the defiled conditions containing the number three, which were invaded by Satan, thereby fulfilling the entire providence of restoration once and for all. And so God made it very clear for him to divide all of his offerings into half. But because he couldn't complete dividing of the dove, he couldn't fulfill his responsibility, and that he couldn't fulfill his sacrifice. And so God told Abraham, because you didn't do as you were told, now you must sacrifice your own son Isaac. This is because you didn't divide the doves. And a vulture symbolizes Satan.
Man became the body of both good and evil, and so God needs to separate evil from man, but you can't cut
man in half, otherwise man would die. So instead, cuts the offering in half to divide it into good and evil and draw the blood of death to sanctify this. So through drawing the blood of death, then they can sanctify the offering. But what kind of what happened? Because what was the consequence of not dividing the offering? Then Adam's family and Noah's family, sins could not be indemnified. This was the failure to separate good and evil under the dominion of Satan. Just like Satan targeted Cain and Abel at the time of their offering, and Satan targeted Noah's family at the time of the flood, and Satan targeted Abraham's family after the symbolic offering. The consequence of Abraham's mistake is that he failed to restore the foundation of faith. If Abraham had been successful in fulfilling the foundation of faith, then Isaac would be the center. Isaac is the second son, so he would be the central figure of the substantial offering, the foundation of substance. Who is the first son then? Isaac is the second son. And who is the first son? The first son is Ishmael. Ishmael was born from Sarah's servant Hagar, because Sarah couldn't have children. She had her handmaid have a relationship with Abraham to have Abraham's child, and then Saint Isaac was born later through Sarah. But the fact that Sarah couldn't stand, after she had Isaac, she couldn't stand that Hagar and Ishmael were still around, so she sent them off to the wilderness to survive by themselves. And this was such a sad history for the people of Ishmael. This is where the sad history started. Now, Abraham was the one who failed. Then how could God use somebody that failed? God gave Abraham another chance to make an offering. Why did God give Abraham another chance? He had to keep working through Abraham because God absolutely has to complete his will by the third time. And so Satan had attacked both Adam and his son Cain, defiling the family over the course of two generations. Hence, according to the principle of restoration through indemnity, God could work to take back Abraham and his son Isaac over the course of two generations. And so on the basis of the faithful hearts of Abel and Noah in their success, in their successful symbolic offerings. The condition for Abraham's offering of Isaac. One thing that he, Abraham fulfilled was Abraham had to take his wife again from Canaan into the land of Gerar. And again, Abraham told Sarah that they would go in as brother and sister. And again, Abimelech took Sarah into his palace, and Sarah had to keep her purity again. And then Sarah came back out of, Sarah and Abraham came back out of that kingdom together with all things. So they brought, they restored, they indemnified purity of love and brought all things back from Satan's world to Canaan. This is position of restoring Noah's family. At to come out of the earth and go into the ark. The earth is like satanic world and the ark is like heaven. And so Noah brought his wife, children, and animals on the ark out of satanic world. This is what Abraham did. He brought wife, his wife, Lot, and wealth out of the kingdom of Gerar into Canaan. The offering of Isaac, first of all, there was the three-day course, the period to separate Satan. This must have been so difficult for Abraham to offer his own son. Isaac must have known that something was wrong this time. Before he saw his father Abraham be joyful to offer offerings to God, but Isaac saw his father so grieved and in agony about this new offering. He didn't know what the offering was to be, but he saw how much his father was grieved and how serious he was. And of course, Satan must have tried to tempt Abraham to not go through with this offering. Are you really going to? Satan would tempt Abraham. Can you really bring your son, your only son, and wrap him up with a rope and then put him on an altar and stab him and then burn him? Can you really do that? But Isaac saw his father and saw how worried he was. And Isaac must have also worried and wondered why his father is so in such deep, serious worry. And but Isaac didn't say, oh yeah, I get it. You're going to kill me. I'm the offering. Isaac didn't say that. When the offering goes on the altar, the offering has no mouth. Abraham brought Isaac up the mountain with a 3-day course. And then Isaac said, Father, where is the offering? Where is the ram? Or what is the offering this time? How could Abraham say that I'm going to offer you who I waited for 100 years to have? If Abraham was to say that, then the offering wouldn't be complete. Always, the second day is the day that Satan clings on to you and tries not to let go of you. So there is always a 3-day course that we must go to separate Satan. And then Abraham put the firewood on the altar and then tied Isaac up and put Isaac on the altar. At that time, if Isaac hadn't had the determination to be the offering at that time, and Isaac said, oh, Father, am I the offering? Then he would lose the qualification to be the offering. Because the offering has no mouth. The offering has absolute obedience. At that time, Abraham could think, I might try to kill him, but God wouldn't let me kill him. He could have this kind of thinking. But Satan knows the heart of man. But Abraham had determined to follow God's will and be absolute loyal to God's words. And Isaac had absolute faith and absolute obedience in God's will. Because Abraham couldn't be successful in the offerings of 3 sacrifices that represented the entire cosmos, then that was why Abraham was chosen to offer Isaac, his son. This is why Satan kept on trying to defile this offering. But the people, Abraham and Isaac, went the 3-day course and completely separated Satan from their hearts and made such a strong determination to go forward with God's order. And then Abraham raised his arm with his knife to strike Isaac. And just as he was about to strike, then the angel stopped him and said, "Abraham, drop your knife. Do not strike the boy." So, and then at that time, Abraham shouted, "Now I know," revealing. Revealing God's reproach to Adam for his earlier failure in the symbolic offering and his joy over the successful offering of Isaac. Isaac was, because of this successful offering, Abraham died symbolically, and Isaac is Abraham resurrected. It was like Abraham was killing himself. But the fact that Isaac, that God didn't let Isaac die and let him live, meant that Abraham could live, was resurrected. And Abraham and Isaac are as one person that united completely in heart and will. Isaac can make the symbolic offering as a central figure for the foundation of faith because of this. In order for Isaac to be the foundation, the central figure for the foundation of substance, or foundation of faith, he can do this because Abraham and Isaac stand as the same person. So the foundation of faith centered on Isaac, the central figure was Isaac. Abraham together as one person, and the object for the condition was the ram. Then the foundation of substance. So Isaac, if Abraham had not failed, then Isaac would have been the center of the foundation of substance. But because Abraham failed, then Isaac died together with Abraham and was resurrected together with Abraham. And Abraham, the offering can't come off the offering table and say, "Now I will be the center of the, I will be the center of the offering, the central figure of the offering." And so, Isaac had two sons. In order to become the central figure, you need to restore the birthright. Esau was, the elder brother Esau was more manly type person, rough person that was always outside, working outside and hunting. And Jacob was more feminine like person, and always with his mom. And then one time Esau went out hunting, and he was so tired, he came back, and Jacob would In the beginning, his mother would prepare meals for Esau, but his mom would say, Esau, you should come home on time to eat. You should come home at dinner time. But many times Esau wouldn't be home on time. And so sometimes he would come home and nothing would be prepared for him. So one time Esau came home and he was so hungry and Jacob was making lentil soup. And Esau said, can I have some soup? And then Jacob said, yeah, if you can, I'll give you the soup if you call me elder brother. He said, he thought that these two were twins, but what would change just by calling Jacob elder brother once? He would still be the elder brother. Nothing would change, Esau thought. So this became a condition, though, that evil subjugated to Satan's side, subjugated to God's side. But from the father's viewpoint, the elder son is still Esau. He didn't know anything about this restoration of birthright. And so when Isaac became old and he told Esau to come and his elder son to come, he said that, Esau, I am old and about to die. I want to give you my blessing. So if you go and get a deer and make my favorite soup, my venison soup, then I will give you my blessing. And then Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was listening to what Isaac said. And then she went and told Jacob, who didn't know anything, and said, Jacob, your father is about to give Esau the blessing, but you should be the one to receive this blessing. And so go get a sheep, and I will make your father's favorite soup. And even though Isaac's eyesight was failing, he could still hear and determine whether Jacob, his son was Jacob or Esau, and he could touch and feel whether he was Jacob or not. His mother said, you can't do anything about your voice, but because Esau had so much hair, then he could deceive the father by putting goat hair all over him, even on his neck. He said, aren't you, Jacob went to see his father, Isaac, and he said, huh, you don't sound like Esau, who are you? And he said, Father, I am Esau, you just told me to go and get a deer and make your favorite stew so that you could give me your blessing. And his father Isaac knew that he had just told that to Esau, so this must be Esau. And then, but just to make sure, Isaac touched Jacob and felt the hair on Jacob, and then said, oh, this is Esau, you are right. And so then Isaac gave the blessing to Jacob, but then Esau went out all by himself and caught the deer and then made the soup by himself without anybody's help and came to his father, Isaac, and to receive the blessing. And then Isaac said, "Who are you?" He said, "Father, I'm Esau." And then Isaac understood that he had just given the blessing to Jacob and said that, "I have no blessing to give to you. I have given it all to your brother." And after that, Esau was so angry that every time he saw Jacob, he wanted to kill Jacob. And Rebekah felt this danger, so she sent Jacob to her brother Laban's house in Haran. So going into Haran, which is like Satan's land, Jacob was to find a family and restore a family in there. And then Laban said, "Why did you come?" Jacob said, "Oh, I came here because my mom sent me here, and I don't know how long I'll be here." Said that, "I'll work for you for 7 years if you, under one condition." And then his uncle said, "What condition?" He said, "You have two daughters. Give me the younger daughter and for marriage." And then the uncle said, "Okay." And then Jacob worked for 7 years as a servant, and then so that he could. After 7 years, then they Jacob married his bride, who has had a veil. And in the old days, you have spend your first night, and you don't take your veil off yet. But then in the morning, he lifted the veil of his bride, and it was Leah. It wasn't the bride that he expected. So he went to Laban, saying, "I asked for Rachel. Why did you give me Leah?" And then Laban said that, "We have a tradition that the older daughter gets married first. And if you want, the second daughter, then work for me 7 more years." And then Jacob said that, "If you give me your daughter Rachel, I will work for you 7 more years." So in the beginning, Leah bore 4 sons for Jacob, but because he had a second wife, Jacob would keep on going to his second wife, not because she was more beautiful, but because it's more God's Leah was so jealous that she gave her own handmaiden to Jacob so that he could have a relationship with her maid servant, and Rachel eventually couldn't have children anymore. She was a maid servant. And then Rachel also gave her maid servant because she couldn't have children. And so 11 children were born from these three women. So it was like Jacob having four wives. And then finally, Rachel could have two sons. And then Jacob said that I will work for you for 7 more years if you can give me your cattle that has spots. And Laban didn't have any cattle that had spots. Like, there would only be one cattle that had spots very rarely. But then Jacob got a revelation of how to make spots on the cattle, and it was by bringing them to a special stream and feeding them special kind of leaves, and then all of those, the offspring of those, that cattle was born with spots. And so the Uncle Laban was supposed to give him those cattle, but then Laban changed the content of his promise over and over and over again, 10 times. But what was so amazing about Jacob was how he could take four wives and probably each wife must have been so jealous about each other, wanting to be the most beloved wife of Jacob. How could Jacob stand this? Jacob was a man of no words. So, even when his children came, he would just listen to what they had to say, and when the wives came and talked to him, he just listened to what they had to say and didn't say anything back. And then at the Laban kept on changing his promise over and over and over again, but Jacob never said anything. And so Jacob's family decided to escape from Haran, and the daughters just took all of the good things from the household and brought them along with them out of Haran, and they brought the idols that the family worshipped to. Rachel brought them under her saddle, and then Uncle Laban came after them at full speed. Why? And then Jacob said, What's wrong, Uncle? And he said that you took my idols of my family. And Laban tried to find the idols, looking all over the possessions, but Rachel just refused to come down off of her horse because she was hiding the idols under her saddle, near her sexual organs, and he said, I can't come down because I have my period. At the Jabbok River, when then Jacob fought with the angel, and unless he restored the angel, he won victory, then he couldn't receive the name of victor. And Jacob wouldn't let go of the archangel until he won, even though the angel knocked out his hip. So when it became morning and the angel wanted to return to heaven, Jacob didn't let him go, and he said, I lost. And then Jacob said, then give me some proof that I won. And then the angel said that from now your name is not Jacob, but you will be called Israel, which means the victor. And then Jacob brought his family to go see his brother, Esau. Esau was waiting with 400 men to kill Jacob. Esau woke up in the morning, he saw a big line of people coming towards his house. And Jacob put his servants in front to bring gifts and his possessions, and then brought his... He... When the servants brought the possessions, he said, who are you? Oh, we were sent by our master, Jacob. And then the maids of went next, and they said, who are you? We are the maids of Satan's. We are the maids of Jacob's family. And then the children of Jacob went forth and bowed down before Esau, saying that we are Jacob's children. And then Jacob's wives came and bowed down before Esau. And they were... they were Jacob's wives. And when Jacob came last, and he ran up to his brother and bowed down and kissed his brother, saying, when I see you, I see God. When I see your face, I see God. And then Cain embraced his brother and said, why don't we live together? So, for the first time, the foundation of substance was completed. In Adam's family, between Cain and Abel, the foundation of faith was set, but the foundation of substance didn't work. And the time of Noah, Ham failed. In the time of Abraham, Abraham failed. But then finally, at the time of Jacob and Esau, both the foundation of faith and the foundation of substance were completed for the very first time. The Messiah comes from the disciples. I mean, the The Messiah comes from the descendants of Abraham's lineage. Okay, as a result, the vertical course of history from Adam's family to restore through indemnity, the foundation of substance, was horizontally restored through indemnity in Isaac's family. So in Adam's family, Adam and Eve committed adultery, Cain and Abel committed murder, the archangel committed treachery and theft. But this could all be restored through the indemnity in Abraham's family. And through Abraham and Isaac, they restored Eve. They did not commit adultery. And through Jacob and Joseph, they restored Adam, as they did not... Right. They also did not commit adultery. And through Joseph, they indemnified murder. Beloved showed a loving of his enemy and restored wealth. And through Abraham's family, they could finally be successful in the foundation of faith and the foundation of substance. And so Joseph's success brought about the rise of the chosen people. Joseph was sold by his brothers to Egypt. But even though the wife of the leader tried to seduce Joseph, he didn't fall. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, didn't fall. So all of these things, the point is that they did not commit adultery. That's why the Messiah can come from the chosen people through Jacob's success. Jacob's success, the chosen people could come because of Jacob's success. And Abraham's descendants could become the chosen people. God's side, Abel subjugated Satan's side, Cain, by restoring the birthright. Jacob's course is the model course to subjugate Satan, and the history of Israel is central in the history of the providence of restoration. God is called the God of three generations. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is as one generation from the providential viewpoint. Because Abraham failed in this symbolic sacrifice, symbolic offering, then Isaac and Abraham became one and fulfilled the foundation of faith. And then the second son, Jacob, fulfilled the foundation of substance. When people pray, they say, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Does this mean that there are three different gods? No. It means that these three generations are as one generation. The person to walk the central path in all courses of indemnity is the Abel type central figure of the substantial offering. Because Jacob was successful, then God could raise the chosen people and send the Messiah from that people. So, Jacob was successful, and the foundation for the Messiah was established on the family level. But at that time, on Satan's side, foundation was already established. There was a strong nation. But God's only foundation. And so the Messiah can only come when the national foundation is established. And Abraham's failure in making the symbolic offering led to 400 years of slavery and still left to accomplish. So this is why the providence was prolonged. The foundation for the Messiah was successfully established in Abraham's family, but the Messiah could not come. The foundation for the Messiah is needed until the Messiah does come. So lessons we can learn is that human portion of responsibility is necessary in fulfilling the will of God. If man doesn't fulfill their portion of responsibility, then the fulfillment of the will cannot be done. And lessons to note is that when we make small mistakes, then a greater indemnity condition is required. And we have to always divide ourselves and separate ourselves into good and evil. Just because we become a big leader of a big church and many followers doesn't mean that we have become perfected, but we should always look at ourselves and divide ourselves into good and evil. And we need cooperation between mother and son. And until you get married, you need the cooperation of your mother. And after you get married, you need the cooperation of your wife. Even if the husband wants to do something, if you don't have the cooperation of your wife, then the wife will always be at your business, saying, where did you go, who are you with, what are you doing, I told you not to go, and yeah, in your face. So, as a mother of the church, as a couple leading a church, the husband needs to be the father of the church, and the wife needs to be the mother of the church. The church needs to have the form of a family. Can't just have rich old men, and it can't just have wives that gather there, but needs to have adolescent children and kids in preschool and babies and men and old people. It has to have the form of a family, and then this church can develop. And be careful of small mistakes. If you think, surely not, or this couldn't happen, then you can make mistakes. So you have to be careful of little things, that you don't make mistakes with the little things. Oh, Jacob, the path to heaven that Jacob trod with blood, sweat, and tears and devotion and effort, he did his utmost for Esau, for the sake of Esau, for 21 years. And then Esau was obedient to Jacob and submitted to Jacob. But we've seen that we need the foundation for the Messiah until the Messiah comes. Then what is the two conditions for the foundation of the Messiah? We need to make foundation of faith and foundation of substance until the national foundation can be established and God can send the Messiah. So not only should Jacob's family have entered into Egypt, but Jacob and Esau's families should have kept a good relationship to make a national foundation. So if both Jacob and Esau's family had gone into Egypt and worked together, then they would have made a national foundation and would have naturally made a national foundation for the Messiah. So, and if we see the north and south Israel, the north side only has evil kings, but the south side has many good kings. Jacob and Esau united and laid the foundation for the Messiah on the family level, but they should have kept this foundation until the national foundation was established. So they should have kept their relationship, good relationship, for a long time. So, but they weren't able to keep this relationship, good relationship. And so Christianity now has the responsibility to indemnify this. But then Christianity didn't indemnify this either, the relationship between. Jacob and Esau. Oh, I mean, the Christianity was to make the foundation. Oh, no, wait. Anyway, we should always keep the foundation for the Messiah. It Is this difficult? Are you having a hard time? Thank you very much. Let's give Reverend Yu another big round of applause.